Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Hello, welcome to the Whole Truth podcast of me, Jordan Stevens. I feel like to camera, it feels like you've got to do a bit more. Hello, and
hello. I'm joined
by my Joho,
my Joho's.
Sorry, let's start again. Welcome to the Whole Truth podcast of me, Jordan Stevens, aka the one half of the Mixed Race Boys with high tops and snapbacks. I am joined by a wonderful friend. And inspiring, or just doing the most, really. Slumflower, aka Chidi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna call you Chid.
You're gonna call me Chid. I like when you call me Chid. You're the only one that calls me Chid.
I am the only one that calls you Chid, and I'm proud of it.
I'm happy.
I like
for
to shorten names.
Mm-hmm.
And your full name, which is on the front of your book, is of course
Chidera Egaru.
Yes, smacked it. But it was weird for me to see because you have had this alias, Slumflower.
Most people know me as the Slumflower.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that, actually?
I don't mind. I get called it in the street sometimes. I turn around like it's my birth name.
Yeah, for real, for real.
Yeah.
I love that, though. But before we get into about mental health and I said mutual beliefs,
mm-hmm.
desire to like create space for others to be who they really are, which I love, which I think is very much in keeping with the notion of the I Am Whole campaign in terms mm-hmm. of creating a conversation. Before that, though, what's your favourite colour?
Yellow.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I'm black, right?
Yeah.
And so when I wear yellow, it just brings out the richness of the
Boom.
Hues, the undertones.
Is
it's
it?
Just perfect.
The sun.
The sun. It represents all things
the
energy
beginning.
And like the beginning.
Oh. Motherland.
Yeah, motherland.
I hear you.
All that.
Yo, yellow apparently also scientifically
it makes
releases,
you feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you see it as a
positive
colour.
Vibes.
Mm-hmm. Positive mm. vibes only.
Yeah, who's it who does that yellow twinkle. Project? It's that We Are Yellow project on Instagram.
Yeah, by Neela.
Neela, that's it.
Oh my
it.
Gosh,
yeah,
she's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah, she's dope.
Yeah.
I proper rate her. Amazing, yellow. Well, that is actually one of the, I'd say, the most rooted colours in our I Am Whole campaign, so thanks.
Sick.
Maybe that was unconsciously.
Mm-hmm. See?
You know what I mean?
See?
Trying to create that. Apparently green is like, it's like positivity too. Though.
Yeah, because green represents life mm. and I guess energy too, health. If you look at like logos that contain the word green, it's normally, the word?
The
colour green.
Yeah.
It's normally to do with things
pharmacies
like hospital, pharmacies.
I hear you.
Regeneration, new life.
Go.
Go. Movement. Energy.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. What's your favourite shape?
My favourite shape is a circle because it has no beginning or end.
Love that.
I but think it's also like a curved line.
I feel like over the course of this podcast, it'll become ever clear that we know everyone's going to say circle, really.
Because I am whole.
No, actually, I think Professor Green said triangle. Yeah.
Ooh, triangle.
There's not
cool
that many.
Though.
Do you know what I really want? I want someone to just come in and be like
dodecahedron or something, like a 28-sided shape that
yeah.
no one has discovered.
Oof. Yeah. Or like sphere. You know what I mean? I like circles so much. I like them in three dimensions. But I think what seemed to have really hooked people in, because you've been saying a lot about how you feel about yourself and you've been stating your claim. That's what I feel I saw, which I loved, was it was like you were saying that there is a whole world of femininity that does not need to beckon to anything, does not need to...
seek permission.
Yeah.
To exist.
Yes. And one of the most bold ways in which you did this was starting the campaign Saggy Boobs Matter.
Mm-hmm.
What was the point? I mean, I think we've spoken about this, you know, but for the benefit of the listeners and for anyone who you can reach via this.
Yeah.
What was the real moment when you were like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's actually really, let's get people involved in feeling good about themselves because this is too much.
Yeah. So I wanted to generate a conversation about women's bodies and the way we respond to and police women's bodies in ways that often go unnoticed and are seen as normal. And I found that as someone who is slim and attractive, it means that I get to move through the world without anyone telling me I can't eat a pizza or else I'm going to die because I'm slim anyway. Mm-hmm. But I still found that even though I'm slim and attractive, I still have a body part or a pair of body parts that are met with a lot of shame and policing and ridicule. And you see that in the way women's bodies are responded to. Let's say you're working in a professional environment, you're told that you have to button your shirt up or all these things, and it means that your body is almost seen as a threat. And on top of that, it also means that you've got to constantly seek permission to be the person that you want to be, whereas that policing isn't placed on men. Men get to run around topless or do whatever they want to.
True.
And you don't even see their photos get pulled down from Instagram because it's okay for...
Men's nips are all right.
Yeah, apparently. Someone decided that one day, and then since then we've run with it for the rest of humanity.
Yeah.
And so for me, Saggy Boobs Matter is less about, you know, boobs and, you know, the real boob versus fake boob story, or the whole, you know, should I wear a bra, should I not? It's just more about women not having to seek permission to be themselves. And for me, I'm glad that I've been able to start that conversation and encourage other people to do the same. But hopefully it will allow us to stop putting so much emphasis on women and aging and, you know, policing us through that process. Because for men, they get to be called things like Silver Fox and like Zeddy and all these things. Like if we look at the way people speak about George Clooney and Idris Elba, then if we look at the way people speak about other women who are aging but aren't married.
Patricia Arquette was a recent example, which I thought, which actually
I
caught myself with. Well, there was that film Boyhood directed by Richard Linklater. Patricia Arquette is in this film, and you know she's most famous for a film called True Romance, where she's beautiful, gorgeous, plays. But I mean, I haven't seen it in a while since there's been more conversation. But there's probably all types of. She plays a bride who's kind of pulled into this violent. I don't know. There's loads of shooting people, but the characters are great and everyone dresses amazingly. But but anyway, she's now seen in this film, and she's in her 50s, you know, and she isn't LA. Kind of
like prepped and
cougar and I found myself even in a lot of the feedback from this is like, oh, she's you know, like
she's not,
and people like, no, anymore. I think she just looks like a woman who's
because everyone expects women to just bend reality and just like, like manipulate time and remain looking 23 for the rest of our lives,
for real. But then you get like people who aging comfortably at DiCaprio or whatever, he's not in the best shape, but no one's having a go at him about it.
He just gets to be a multifaceted full person.
I am intrigued though about, just while we're on the topic, is there enough spoken about in terms of how that gender difference affects women's mental health? Because I was at a rally, the Free Periods. I was at the Free Periods rally.
Oh yeah, how and was that?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. You know, I think it's good for men to show support in those situations. And also, it was kind of just baffling that, I mean, it's passed now. I think the tampon tax is getting revoked, which is great. But how long? Yeah, how long exactly? But my thing is, how long? What does that mean for the mindset of someone to be taxed on being a woman?
Right, because the funny thing about that is it feels like the world hates women because you're basically saying, I need to pay to not bleed on myself.
Yeah.
But then if I'm seen bleeding on myself, then I'm going to get condemned for it.
Trust.
So I have to just not exist in order to avoid being judged.
More personally, to just rein it in.
Mm.
What is your personal relationship with mental health? Does thinking about these things in the world, does that actually create a difficulty for you? Or not difficulty, do you find that quite a lot? Do you have to kind of take time out? And what's your bit of joy? Like what do you do to go, oh, you know what? I'm me, I'm great.
So my relationship with mental health in terms of the conversation of like moving through the world of all these identities is that I'm making the effort to look after my mind. And you know, when it comes to things like activism, of course everyone says put your money where your mouth is and, you know, do the work and show up. But for me, I'm also about putting your money where your mind is as well. So I make sure I go to therapy. And
yes,
I'm in a position where I can afford to do that. Mm-hmm. So I do it. And but I think therapy doesn't just end when you leave your therapist's office. Therapy has to continue on in terms of how you make sure you make it your responsibility to constantly check in with yourself,
mm-hmm.
but also to not let yourself become a product of your own darkness,
mm-hmm.
because it will literally eat you alive. And for me, there have been so many times where I've been close to being engulfed. And what has pushed me there is me expecting other people to understand me, when really the problem was that I wasn't even making as much of an effort to understand myself, yet I wanted other people to go out of their way to understand me. But then the issue with that is that the people that we expect to understand us barely even understand themselves.
Trust.
So from that, I've been able to
powerful
to gather that if you want anybody to understand you, or if you're seeking, you know, if you're seeking some sort of relationship with someone or any kind of companionship where that person has room for you, is that person making the effort to learn their self and know their self and consciously grow into their self? Because if they're not, then you can't expect much from them emotionally, because they don't even know themselves well enough to be able to even see that in you.
And this would probably be a great time to talk about what a time to be alone.
What a time to be alone. Yes. So what a time to be
because
alone.
Because I hear you on that. Just to recap, like...
Yeah.
I think you have such a propensity for like really quite profound thought and genuine self-excavation. But I think you just go over it. You're like me, you're quick. Your mind's a bit like busy, which I love. I love that about you.
Thank you.
Put your money where your mind is. I don't know if you've copyrighted that shit, but Yo,
whoever gets to the lawyer first.
What?
Mad ting.
I'm about to release that book and it's one page long and it says go to therapy. that's a very, very real issue or real obstacle that people find every day, measuring themselves on other people's opinions.
Oh yeah. And I'm sure you can relate to this because you're from a world where the thing is, when you're an entertainer, it means that you literally live off applause. And so that means that you need to be liked. You need to be liked in terms of for your career to thrive. You need to be liked, right? In a certain capacity. And so for me, I've been
becoming authentic sometimes.
Yeah. Or people decide that you're inauthentic regardless of how close to yourself that you're actually being. And so for me, I've had to deal with a lot of people using the word disingenuous to describe you. But the irony is that none of these people have ever met me. And so why that's ironic is because the word disingenuous means that, you know, you're behaving in a way that's untrue or false or fake. But for someone to be able to gather that, they need to have actually spent enough time.
They have
time
to have a mean average.
Right. So there's no actual method of measurement here of my character. And why that used to really grit at me is because I used to think that, you know, if people think I'm fake, then how am I going to prove that I'm real? But then the problem with trying to prove that you're real means that you end up becoming fake, because then you're now performing a version of yourself. So I've had to learn, again, for my own peace of mind, that it's not my job to be a version of myself that people have decided that I am. Because again, as an entertainer or as someone who provides some sort of, you know, joy out into the world, It's quite a dehumanizing position to put yourself in, because people idolize you. And so when you idolize someone, you're stripping them of their human abilities, which means that they're only allowed to be this one thing.
How do you cope with that?
Well, for me, I'm reminding everyone every day, don't look at me as your role model, fam. I'm not your role model.
Uh-uh.
You see what Cardi B did, yeah? Where she rushed Nicki Minaj at
she threw a shoe
that right. energy, yeah. Cardi B ran so we could fly. That's the kind of energy I move through the world with. So if you randomly see me fighting at an award show, don't try and say, "Oh, this isn't Slumflow, this isn't Chitty." It is me, fam. It's a side of me you haven't seen. Yeah, and for me, I don't want to ever be anybody's idea of, you know, a role model or someone's cookie cutter for their life, because that means that I can only be one stagnant version of myself for someone else. I don't exist for anyone else. I'm here to make my own mistakes, because that's going to build my experiences.
A
rolling model, constantly in motion, fam.
No moss.
That's right.
Hashtag
we're not
no
gathering
moss.
No moss because we're rolling stones. Yes.
I hear you. So the book.
Yes, my book is called What a Time to Be Alone.
Zup. Why?
Yeah, so I wrote What a Time to Be Alone because, first of all, I was playing on the phrase What a Time to Be Alive. And What a Time to Be Alive is normally an expression that's used to just, like, you know, when you're looking at life and you're like, wow, life is mad. And that could either be a good thing or a bad thing, or just like a neutral, just wow, life is a lot.
Yeah.
And so for me, I found that solitude is a lot. Solitude is a lot for a lot of people. Like everyone's kind of, yeah, it's kind of scary. Everyone has like this fear of dying alone. And for me, that fear of dying alone was really, really just taking up so much space in my mind and making me feel really inadequate. So I wanted to challenge it and ask myself, okay, so who was it? Who was it that taught me that me being with myself was not enough? And why do I believe them? I have to now work backwards and trace back all the conditioning to where it all began, in terms of like, why do I feel like I'm not good enough as a solid unit? Because yeah. I came into this world on my own. I'm definitely going to leave on my own. Uh-uh. And so it means I'm already equipped with enough to survive this world on my own. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't seek companionship, and it doesn't mean that I'm weak or that I failed for wanting to find love and be with someone. But what it means is that I need to spend this time that I have with myself learning myself and being able to understand that if I want to be in any kind of relationship or even just to find companionship that's valuable and worthy, that I need to believe that first I'm deserving of that. But that belief can't come without understanding that
you're calling your own company
and like understanding that you're wonderfully made and that everybody is a different version of trash and that it's about being the least trash possible. But also, no, but it's true though. I mean, we were just talking about participating in capitalism.
Walking
that's
through
definitely
trying
trash,
to be as little trash as possible.
Yeah, I'm trying to be.
Maybe my next album title. Trying to be less trash.
Love it.
Yeah.
It's very self-descriptive, you know?
Yeah. I mean, or just trashy.
Little trash. Little Young trash.
Little trash.
That's your new name.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I'm really happy for
good.
You.
Good. I think it's solidified where I'm coming from. Do you think that we live in a society that makes people feel as though it's scary to be alone? Do you know what I mean? Is there pressure to be in a relationship? I found that quite
Look at before we had Instagram, which is where we're seeing all that the wedding rings and the I said yes pictures. Before we had that, we'd have things like OK Magazine. Before we had OK Magazine, we'd still have things like, you know, maybe it's like the year 1705 you know, Charlotte, who lives with her rich boyfriend, is getting married in the town square. So everyone's going to have to come and witness it.
Yeah.
And then everyone's going to hope that they meet their potential partner at that way. So again, this whole idea of, you know, marriage is something that is pushed heavily in society, because marriage isn't just a thing that you do when you love someone. It's also a financial and legal decision as well.
Kind of the only reason?
Well,
I do like
in the West, yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The other book you have released.
Yes. Scribble Yourself Feminist.
How do I do that?
What did you do?
I scribble myself feminist.
So it's a colouring book. And love it's that. Aimed at young thinkers around 12 and up. And it's all about really introducing younger people to the conversation of human rights, because feminism is not just a girly thing, it's a human rights issue. But I've aimed the message mainly at young girls, because you know, your parents can work really hard to instill wonderful messages in you that you're great and you're talented and you are everything beyond what the world tells you a girl is. But the moment you leave your house and you start interacting with the outside world, society is still going to respond to you differently. And so through this book, I aim to find a fun and witty and cute way to, you know, challenge societal norms and allow young girls to be able to take their power back into their own hands. So the book includes loads of fun and allows you to color pages in, and you can read loads of fun quotes from like people like Maya Angelou to Oprah and Chimamanda. Yeah, I really wanted to write that because I feel like, of course, it's all well and good having this conversation with adults, but we shouldn't have to have the conversation with adults. There should be people in the world who already understand that women are people. And the only way we can actually shift the way the world is moving is by starting with people who are young.
So, but another tweet I saw recently from you was talking about Black women's relationship with vulnerability.
Yes.
Please, can you...
So, me being a Black woman means that I am often excluded from what femininity truly means. And that is very clear in the way that the world... Well, if you look at the way the world responds to Serena Williams, that pretty much shows you as a visual example. So, if Serena Williams is physically strong, she's emotionally strong, she's mentally strong, she has the entire frame of a winner, from how her mind works and the way that she views herself to how she carries herself. And so when you are a Black woman and your physical appearance is seen as masculine and you are mentally resilient, then people will compare you to a man. And it means that you're treated as less of a woman and more than a man. And so that means less vulnerability for you. And we see that in the way the world responds to Serena Williams.
Yeah.
But then if we compare that to the way that Maria Sharapova is treated, then it's very clear what I'm trying to speak about here. And that's very, it's quite easy to identify that, especially if you look at the kind of campaigns that Maria Sharapova gets, like Evian, which is all about purity.
I actually did that with campaign with her.
No way. Yeah. But yeah, Evian.
Also, she went out in the third round, which pissed me off so much. Because it was like, we got the Evian advert with her for Wimbledon, yeah? Mm-hmm. It was like this song and they're promoting it and it was like, woof, woof. And then she went out.
Woof, woof.
Do you know what I mean? Out. She went out third round. I was like, fuck. I wanted, do you know what I mean? At least if she had won, it would have been like, and the result kicked her. She went out real quick. I hope we didn't hex her. Anyway, I'd prefer to do one with, I'd love to do one with
I would
Serena.
Be honoured Serena's to pro- even top. Exist in the same country as Serena.
I saw her win Wimbledon. And it was one of the most powerful moment? Things ever. But you know what I thought was... Actually, this is another conversation. But what I thought was wild is actually thank God first. I find that so fascinating. I feel like that belief in something outside of yourself can sometimes summon power. But your... What I find interesting is you tweeted something that suggested actually that this... expectation of Black women leads to a covering of some sort, or like it leads to then, or you're saying that a lot of the strength that Black women have to adhere to is actually reflective of
So basically what I mean when I say that Black women aren't afforded vulnerability and the room to be feminine is that we spend our entire lives having to be policed.
It's the suicide thing. You said something along the lines of Black women Oh, because you've been conditioned to consider life to be a requirement.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Okay, so that was a tweet that I reposted from someone.
Reposted,
that's it.
And it's an interesting point.
Yeah, so the tweet basically says something, it's a paraphrase, but the tweet says something along the lines of Black women having a much lower suicide rate because the world feels entitled to us existing and that we've been reared as those who protect our community and we are taught that we just have to be strong for everyone else. And so,
but I do think there is a strength in that though, that the suicide rates are low. I mean, I would hate for that to change.
The thing is that strength exists, but no one should have to be that strong. And I think for you to brave such a storm where nobody's looking out for you and still come out on the other side and everyone's like, you did it, well done. But no one's like, instead of you having to fight this storm, why don't we just create conditions where you don't have to even do this to begin with? Imagine what the world would be like for Black women if we didn't have to fight all these storms.
No, I hear that. But then similarly, I do think there's a world where you don't fight any storms and it's so unfulfilling. I'm not saying it should be set up.
Well, what I mean is like, as you know what I mean? Like, you know, race and...
I think both ends of the spectrum need to come in. I think the relinquishing of privilege should actually bring people into everyone understanding that pain is attributed to existence, and a lot of that pain for people who have power is actually letting go of it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So I'm not saying that, like, I totally agree with you. This is a big, we're talking big style here. We're existential. We're flying out into the world of reconstructing our entire system.
We're looking
system.
At the world from like a
you, I actually realise, yeah, and I realise you didn't actually tell me what you do.
What do I do?
To find joy in your moments. Do you ever thought when I asked you about like, about the mental health and you were talking about how solitude is powerful?
Yes.
I also want you to
what
tell
I
me
do to find
when
joy.
You have these moments when you're like, oh, I just realised anarchy is the only way I'm going to be able to live peacefully. When you're not having those moments, where, how do you go,
for me, it's actually I spend loads of time with my best friend, so we just get to discuss, so we've managed to create, so our friendship is pretty much a safe space, right, where we've managed to create a dynamic where we can just like take, we can just take the world off and be ourselves.
Amazing.
And talk about everything together, from, you know, because he's a straight black man,
yeah,
and I'm a straight black woman, and so the world responds to us differently.
Love
but also
that.
It means that we you've met him, actually. You met him at Black Panther,
really? Is that who he is? Oh, he still never gave me, he took the photo.
Yeah, he took the photo. He's still got,
I want
it somewhere
that photo
in his
of you
room.
We can put that as the cover for this anyway.
I know, it's
we both look
steezy,
you know?
Yeah,
I have my big
jacket
on, everything
sick.
Yeah, the whole vibe going on.
But yeah, like, I just get to be my complete self. Like, sometimes I'll just come to his house and, like, I haven't got my wig on, or, like, the other day I wore his clothes to go to an event. Like, I just get to, he just gets to be my
You get
actual,
to be truly you.
I get to be truly me, and that's when I feel the most joy.
That's a powerful thing about friendship. Is it?
Yeah, because
you know
it
how lovely
welcomes
that is?
Me in my entirety and doesn't make me feel judged for, like, emotionally relapsing, or it's just nice.
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky.
And it's hard, yeah, it's really, really hard to find that, and that's why I always feel really, really grateful.
Gratitude,
fam.
Is the attitude. That's wonderful. I really,
what about
that's
you?
Kind of touched my heart. What do I do to find joy?
Yeah.
I stare at a blank white wall.
Ooh, why?
I don't.
Oh.
But I could do.
But it's interesting though, because that reminds me.
You know
me
what?
Of...
Weirdly, I could do. I really could.
Like, just stare at a blank
white
wall.
Because it's the
wall.
Idea of being able to come up with an idea. I like, my place of joy, I think, is. You know, there's I find a similar feeling in various pockets of life, you know, and it can be quite fleeting, which isn't great, but it's
but
when
happiness
I've
is fleeting, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's never
but
constant.
It's writing and going, oh, I actually know where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
it's hugging your girlfriend in the morning. It's
aww.
Like it's like sitting down with a mate and then saying something and they go, I totally get that.
Yeah,
you know, it is watching the opening credits of Space Jam. Just let's be real. Let's be real right now.
Yeah.
Jam. Come on and jam. And welcome. So, but we're talking about these moments of joy, and we did a thing with YMCA recently called Peer to Peer, which is exploring the contact between friendship and how important friendship is to mental stability. We do seem to be living in a time right now where the world is rife with opportunity to feel inadequate or stressed.
Of course.
So like, what's your opinion on social media in that regard? You use social media a lot.
I've built my career on it.
I'm terrified of it. I try and convince myself to do Insta stories. And
if you notice, I don't really talk much on Twitter anymore. I just retweet stuff and just post links to my interviews.
How has it affected you?
I think it's
positively,
oh my gosh.
I mean, your career, but.
Okay, I'll start with negatively, because I mean, the positive aspects are quite obvious. But negatively, negatively, social media has affected me in a way where there was a point where when I'd leave my house, I would get intrusive thoughts that would tell me everyone hates me.
Oh.
And it would just make me want to cry in the street. There was times when I just like, I'll be walking home and I'd just sit outside someone's
imposter
house.
Imposter syndrome
now,
isn't it?
It's a combination of imposter syndrome and paranoia. And that comes from having a lot of spectators in your life.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that happens with social media, because there aren't really boundaries. It's just a lot of people having...
And you press send, yeah.
And you press send, and then whatever happens, happens to you. There's no room for regulation or for people to look out for you. Or, and that's why I found that the reason why I think social media negatively is quite a terrible place is because there are a lot of fragile and sensitive discussions that are being had online. And whilst it's quite progressive, relatively... The problem is that, one, a lot of these need to be had offline, where there's room for people to ask healthy questions and learn in their own time.
Yeah, go back and forth.
Back and forth. That back and forth is necessary. But
seriously.
Because you see on social media, there isn't really a back and forth. It's always, I said this, and that's what I said. There's no room for
and
discussion.
And people be getting cancelled.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's a whole different conversation, the whole cancellation thing.
But like, I think it contributes to a state
of
fear.
I've been cancelled so many times, which is hilarious, because I am still here, honey. But the thing about
you know what I mean, though.
Yeah, no, of course I know what you mean. I think the thing
because like you can't be wrong. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. You're not allowed to be wrong. You're not allowed to be fallible. You're not allowed to be what? Human. Because social media strips you of that. Social media limits you to being this.
And nowadays, more than ever, you got to be like perfect the bot.
Yeah, you have to be a bot.
In order to get that retweet.
Your point has to be succinct and clear and nuanced, only 140 characters.
And also like, has to include all the current politically active standpoints.
And all the correct words.
All the words.
And syntax.
And syntax. Yeah, it's mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of, I think there's, right.
So people don't want to have discussions. They just want to fight. And I'm like, listen, if you want to go and fight, yeah, go and fight your mum. Don't come do that with me because I'm not doing that.
Don't fight your mum.
Why no, you're looking for someone to go and beef.
Yeah,
don't beef
do the
me.
Mom.
No,
I don't
mean,
do the mom.
That's not my problem at this point because you're coming to beef me, you know.
Yeah, beef
go and
the
look
screen.
For someone to go and
beef
fight.
Beef the screen.
Beef the screen.
Yeah. Beef the screen.
Beef the screen.
So what advice would you give to young people operating in the world of social media?
I would say that you've got to understand that, one, nobody's out here posting their failures as much as they're posting their successes. If anything, no one really posts their failures.
We should just do that for a bit.
Oh my gosh, imagine that. If you were to post your failures.
Forgot to brush my teeth again.
What would you post?
Is that a failure though? Let's be honest.
It's not though.
What would I post as my failures?
But then that's the thing. Is anything a failure if it's a lesson?
No. Well, listen, this is another conversation again. Our perception of failure is different. Yeah.
It's a difficult, again, see, this is the thing. It's good that we're having this conversation here. But then imagine trying to have this conversation on the internet. Someone's going to come out and be like, oh, excuse me, where's the nuance?
Yeah, also, no one does want to see that, really. I think people want to champion each other. There's a lighter side to it. Mm. But it's just when it.
Yeah, I would say that nothing anybody ever ultimately does is because of you. Mm. But I'd also try to remind people as well that the only way to be a better human being, if you don't have access to other people in where you live, it's just to follow people who have different experiences to you. So
yeah, diverse.
So in my case, for example, I make sure to follow loads and loads of gender non-conforming people because they speak about their experiences in the way that I'm able to actually have access to them. And that allows me to be able to gain an understanding of how the world treats them and how they are viewed and how they move through the world and what I can do to not just help them be safer, but to recognize the role that I play in a society that harms them and understand as well that until gender non-conforming people are not free, then neither am I. So this fight is for all of us. It's not just for a particular isolated group of people that make up a relatively small percentage of the world.
Is there something you tell yourself in the morning? Is there something you tell yourself before you go to sleep? Any little tips and tricks, you know, just like a self-worth or moments where you floundered and found, yeah.
What works for me in terms of generating self-love and maintaining my confidence is I try to go for walks alone for as long as possible. And the reason why I like walking is because when you're in a state of transit, it means that you have time to actually observe yourself, not as a person who is here or there, but just as a person who is moving. And so it allows you to have certain conversations with yourself and you don't have to think about responding to anyone. You just get to walk and it feels like you're walking away from the thing that's bothering you. But also, if you choose a particular walk route as well, it creates like a weird map in your mind where that walk route becomes comforting. Yeah. So for me, I live in Peckham, but...
like a routine.
Yeah, so I live in Peckham, but one of the closest train stations to me is Brockley. And so it's about 25-minute walk to my house. But I really, really enjoy that walk because I've been walking that route for so many years that it's formed like a map in my mind. Yes, it's really comforting when I walk it. And I remember the times when I think about the things that are eating away at my mind and I never thought I'd be able to get past them. When I walk that route again, I'm able to actually have a clear head because I just can tap myself on the back and be like, wow, you really got through it. So walking for me is major.
Love that.
Major.
Music
is a major one for me.
Yeah.
I get quite what's the word, not obsessive, but if I like the way a particular song sounds, then I'm basically going to listen to it until...
Just repeat. You're one of them.
Yeah, and so it doesn't sound like a song anymore. It just sounds like a collection of instruments and noises that make me happy.
Yeah.
I really love that as well. But so, I'm also learning to be quite... When it comes to music, I'm trying to learn to understand that, again, people don't, musicians don't owe me the world that I want to exist in. So at the same time, I mean, it's a difficult, it's a difficult conversation because as much as if you're in a position of influence and power, then you do have a responsibility to not be a bigot or to not be, to not create harmful messages. But at the same time, I'm also trying to, because everybody's going to disappoint everyone, I now just try to not look for people's thoughts on things. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh, are you trying to map out a way to be like, I still bump music with dumb ass messages?
No, hell no. What I'm saying is
that... Because it's quite hard to avoid that, I'm not going to lie.
No, what I'm now saying is that I'm trying to not get so attached to...
The messages in music.
Yeah, because people are constantly shifting and changing.
Has there ever been a moment where a particular song has saved you? Has there been a... is there a particular song you go to if you're... Yeah?
Frank Ocean.
The whole album.
The whole album, fam.
Just saved you.
It's just angsty, but also it's not angsty. It's emotional and it's multifaceted.
I think he's one of the greatest writers of our generation.
Frank. Truly.
Like the way he...
Channel Orange, my favourite album in the world.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's just something to do with the way he can incorporate like colloquial language into something that's truly profound. Do you know what I mean? Or like when he goes, see both sides, like Chanel.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, so witty. What are you saying, Frank?
Why are you so great? I want to meet him one day. He's definitely one of my emotional icons.
And he's written some wonderful prose as well, just aside of his music.
Absolutely.
So, okay, dope, Blonde, Frank Ocean, and that is that celebratory and in a place of...
Well, when I want to be emotional and vulnerable, I just listen to Blonde because I'm like, yeah, I get to be sad, but sad isn't like a shameful thing. It's just me being able to access that softer side of myself. And that's really important. And I'm glad Frank Ocean gave us something to work with. With that.
And celebratory.
Beyonce Blow.
Blow?
Yeah. She's really owning her sexuality as a person, but also she's proud of how beautiful she is and she's very vocal about her skill set and she's very assertive about what she wants. I'm like, yes, Beyonce.
I think Beyonce would be up there for a lot of people's celebratory music.
Of course. I feel like anybody who goes out of their way to say that they don't like Beyonce, I feel like you're just saying that for the sake of saying it. How can you, like, you don't even have to be personally drawn to her music, but what you're not going to do is fail to recognize the talent that she possesses and her work ethic.
It's a joke. I saw her and Jay-Z, and it's like, my man was
On the Run tour.
Yeah.
Cheese!
The recent one.
Yeah.
And it's like, he doesn't do a lot. I rate Jay-Z, lovely guy. very talented rapper.
Good lad.
But like, the difference in work ethic on that stage.
Of course.
He was just walking up and down.
Beyonce can...
he just turn up and
Beyonce
be like,
can pace across the stage
while
and
singing
and remain in breath.
And also while rapping now.
Bruv.
With your mental health personally and your personal life and your private life, do you keep that space to you and your best friend? Do you feel uncomfortable going too deep in public?
I love this question. So I like to save certain parts of myself for myself.
Right.
But at the same time, I used to do that as a way of protecting myself and hiding. But now I'm learning that those same parts that I save and protect, I now share them with my best friend. Because I think in order to welcome joy into your life, you've also got to be willing to access vulnerability. So I do that with someone that I trust. But also in terms of my personal life, this is something I'm trying to work for in therapy, where I have this thing where I just hold this belief that I don't need anyone. And it can be quite dangerous to think you don't need anyone, because then it means that you view people as disposable. And so that idea comes with cutting people off anyhow. I used to cut people off for fun.
Yeah.
And it's terrible because it shows poor communication skills. It also shows an inability to recognize your own role that you played in the situation. Because when you cut someone off, you don't have to actually address anything or acknowledge your behavior. You just be like, well, they're gone now. They were problematic. I don't like them. Done. But before cutting them off, ask yourself, what role did I play in this situation? What did I do to make room for this? What could I have done to behave differently in a way that would probably maybe avoid the situation or at least be able to recognize the symptoms of it earlier on? Those are the questions you need to ask yourself. So if you do still want to cut the person off, of course you can, but it's about context and knowing why you're doing it and understanding the role that you've played in it.
We're doing a thing called Whole Hour soon.
Ooh, what's Whole Hour?
It's like we're promoting a notion of, like, with YMCA, we're suggesting people mm-hmm. for an hour in the day just do something to focus on themselves.
Oh my gosh.
So what would you do? If you had an hour, you just got like, no, you got to put the phone aside. You got an hour. What are you going to do?
Yeah. I would.
You could do anything as well. There's a super teleporter here. So you can like go and swim if you want.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't swim, so I'm going to drown. Yikes.
I'm sure you can swim.
I would visit.
Float.
Do you know what? I would travel time and visit those who came before me and try to understand what the world was like for them before I was born. Because if you look
at... That's what you do with your hour off in the day.
Absolutely.
Do you know how intense that is? That is the most chid answer in the world. I should have confined this to actually within your circle. If you had an hour in the day...
Okay, if I had an hour realistically...
You would go back in time yeah. and try and understand the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You need... Right, this is... No, but this hour in a day is so... It's so people with your mind don't do that to... You don't do that to yourself.
Okay, if I had an hour a day... if I had an hour in a day to just secure peace and joy...
No, you're just for yourself.
Just for myself.
Yeah. The hour that... And let's just keep it... Let's rule it right in. You're in Peckham.
I'm in Peckham.
You got an hour. No phone.
Straight right in. Just going to walk yeah. to... There's a section in Peckham Rye Park where there's a whole lavender garden. It's my secret hideout.
Lavender?
No one...
Shut up.
Yeah.
My favorite,
yeah. It's my hideout. It's my hideout because no one really knows about it, but it's a really cool lavender writing. Garden. I'm going to go there and I'm just going to write everything and not try to make it rhyme or not try to make it sound cool.
Listen, Chid, it's been wonderful having you on. I think I would like
thanks for having
to,
me.
Yeah. For a young woman to be able to look at like your page where everyone feel away, feel encouraged or not feel alone, I think it's pretty special.
Thanks.
And big up on your books and that.
Thank
and,
you.
You're going to come to the Music Mental Health gig?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Man's got time. Zoom. See you there.
All right, dope, man. Have a good one. That's the Whole Truth Podcast. Peace.
Cheers.
Powered by Spirit Studios.